بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, the great faqih jurist who lived a life of piety, Allah had endowed upon him great, great qualities. We know he was the master in fiqh, especially in jurisprudence. He once mentioned, إِنَّ حِكَايَاتِ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَمَحَاسِنَهُمْ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْفِقْهِ فَإِنَّهَا آدَابُ الْقَوْمِ وَأَخْلَاقُهُمْ. That incidents and stories of the ulama and the sulaha, the pious, they are more beloved to me than a lot of fiqh. We know his day and night was involved in sorting people's masail. Different questions would come to him, sometimes on tahara, sometimes on nikah, sometimes on talaq, sometimes fasting, sometimes hajj, zakat, whatever it was. He said, more beloved to me than kathiri min al-fiqh is the hikayat, the incidents of the ulama, the salihin, the pious. Why? Because this is adabul qawm wa akhlaquhum. From this we understand etiquettes, mannerisms, character of the people, of the pious, the salif, the salihin, so that we may inculcate in our lives the beautiful legacy that they have left behind. The teachings, the advices, the way they lived, their piety, their taqwa, their abstinence, how they refrain from haram, their simple life. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, also one of the great four imams, and we don't have time to go and expound on these people's biographies, inshallah on some other occasion, but they were great, great sages of the time and pious ulama and fuqaha and muhaddithin of a very high caliber, that they became leaders of so many billions of followers. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi is like virtually on his deathbed. It was his last days of his life. Oh, he was extremely sick and he was lying down. Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this and he says, I was with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. And suddenly the name of Ibrahim bin Tahman rahmatullahi alayhi was mentioned. Ibrahim bin Tahman rahmatullahi alayhi was a very great, salih, very pious person, regarding whom it was mentioned that لَمْ يُخَلِّفْ بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ. He did not leave behind somebody of his caliber, according to many people who lived in that era. So he was a very high, a very pious person. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi is lying down on his back on the bed, and when the name of Ibrahim bin Tahman rahmat Tahman comes, immediately he stops and he says, raise my back, let me sit up. So he was reclining, now he sits up. And he said, it is not appropriate when the names of these great scholars and ulama and salafi salihin, their names are taken and I must lie down on my back in this manner. So we can understand that they had so much of importance they attached to the genuine pious men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would listen to their incidents and their stories attentively, with the intention of bringing those aspects which they may have not have in their life, and now they could inculcate those good habits in their life. I've been reading on the great Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayh, and some incidents in his life. The way of life he lived, he was an ascetic khalif. And especially when he becomes the Khalif of the Muslims, then it was the dawn of a new era in his life. how concerned he was regarding public treasury, and he lived an ascetic life thereafter. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, just to remind you, he comes from the progeny of the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and we have mentioned the story many times. But perhaps for those whom have not heard the story before, or just as a mudhakara, a reminder, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Amirul Mu'mineen, is now patrolling the streets of Medina one night, he's got his servant with him, and after some time he takes rest against a wall of a house. He overhears a conversation of a mother and a daughter, and they had been filling milk in bottles. This was their livelihood, and they would sell this milk and earn a livelihood because there was no menfolk there. Husband had passed on. Mother and daughter are busy filling milk at night. When the mother tells the daughter, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu overhears this conversation because he's sitting outside, and they were not aware that he is sitting outside, and neither did he have any intention to eavesdrop, but he just happened to be resting. And he hears this conversation, and the mother tells the daughter, she instructs the daughter that add some water to the milk. And if you do so, then the milk content will be more, we'll be able to fill more bottles like this and sell more milk, and we get more profit. Obviously, this is not correct. This is deception. The daughter immediately refuses, oh my mother, we cannot do this. Have you not heard what Amir al-Mu'mineen had commanded? That we should not deceive the customers, we should not do such a practice. So the mother says, where's Amir al-Mu'mineen now? It's late part of the night. Amir al-Mu'mineen must be fast asleep. He's not here. So this daughter replies and responds to the mother, oh mother, if Amir al-Mu'mineen is not here, then the Ilah, the Allah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is here. Allah is listening, Allah is watching. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was astounded by this beautiful reply of this young girl. He goes back home, and the next day he tells his attendant to find out who are these people. And when he's informed that his mother and daughter are living, there's no menfolk, etc., daughter is of marriageable age, then he sends a proposal on behalf of his son. And they accept the proposal. So they are married. They have a child, a daughter. That daughter is the grandchild, the granddaughter of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Her son is Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. Now we can see what type of person is Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. He's born in 61 AH, in other words after Hijrah, 61 years after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So plus minus, he was 50 years, he came 50 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi is born in the Banu Umayyad dynasty. Those, the Banu Umayyads, they were very, very affluent people. Many kings in their family, rulers. A lot of pomp, splendor, riches. So he virtually grew up in the lap of luxury. But remember, he was a very pious person. So he's born in the lap of luxury to such an extent that ulama and historians have written that he would apply perfume in his youth. Such a perfume that will entrail behind him as he walked in the gullies. The scent of the perfume will linger. The people would know that Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, that youngster, has gone past. His father was also one of the people of Banu Umayyad, and he had many palaces, one in Madinah Munawwara, one in Egypt, one in Syria, one in Iraq, one in Yemen. So we can imagine the life of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi in the beginning. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi's brother-in-law Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. Sulaiman had brothers, Hisham, then the Sulaiman, Walid and Yazid. These are four brothers of Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik is the son of Marwan bin Hakam. So Marwan bin Hakam is the grandfather. Then comes Abdul Malik. And Abdul Malik's sons are these four. Sulaiman is one. Before him was Walid who ruled, and he passed on. Then Sulaiman becomes the Khalif. Then Sulaiman becomes the Khalif. They lived a life of lot of richness, opulence. And in that time of the Banu Umayyad dynasty, the rulers who came, Sulaiman and his family members, they had usurped the land of many a person. And many wrong things had taken place. As Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik is passing away, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi witnessed the demise of Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, and he mentions he saw the icy hands of mort coming upon Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, and he realized that mort does not leave even a rich person. When mort strikes, whether you're poor or rich, and Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik passes away taking not a single cent with him of this world. In fact, it is mentioned that he said, as he is passing away, Allahumma ya man la yazulu mulkuhu, irham man zala mulkuhu. O Allah, the one whose kingdom always remains, have pity and mercy on the one whose kingdom is now disappearing and coming to an end. There was a person, a minister, very close to Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, by the name of Raja bin Haywa, rahmatullahi alayhi. Raja bin Haywa used to give very sound advice to Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. Sulaiman is concerned, he's got young sons who are not eligible to take over the reins of the throne now and to become a khalif. They're too young. Raja bin Haywa, when he is consulted by Sulaiman, who should I appoint now as the ruler? I'm worried. My sons are too young. He says, I will suggest to you a person who is worthy of taking the reins of this Khilafat. He said, who is it? He said, none other than Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He said, but if I'm going to make him, appoint him, then my brothers, I fear that they are not going to be happy. And they will rebel against him. Raja bin Haywa says, do not worry. You write it down in a letter. And after your demise, I will announce this. And so it happens that Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik passes away. And now the people have assembled. Who is going to be the new ruler? And Raza bin Haywa, rahmatullahi alayhi, then he reads out the letter in which the name of Sulaiman bin Abdul, Umar bin Abdul Aziz is now taken as the new appointed ruler. And when he hears this, he is shocked. He didn't expect his name to be mentioned and now to become the new ruler. So he declines. And he says, no, it's not possible. I do not want to become the Khalifa. The responsibilities are too heavy. So put somebody else, appoint somebody else. But there was an uproar amongst the people. And they said, no, the people loved Umar bin Abdul Aziz. They knew his qualities. They said, no, we will pledge allegiance to you. And after they put pressure on him, and he was forced now to take over this Khilafa, and he's brought forward and he ascends the pulpit, and they say he gave such a beautiful sermon, which made all the people cry and they began to sob. In that sermon he mentions various things. Now listen to me, you had rulers before me, who many of them were tyrants, and you respected them because you feared your own life. And many wrongs they did, and they usurped properties of people, and they used the Baytul Mal, the public treasury, as they wish. And if I obey Allah, then only obey me. If you find I am disobedient to Allah, you should never obey me. He spoke in the sermon about maut and qiyamah. And this made the people sob to such an extent that Raja bin Haywa rahmatullahi alayhi says, I looked at the walls of the Bani Umayyad masjid to see if the walls also cry. So can you imagine this feeling? And as he's just finishing his sermon, he hears some noise and he inquires, what is it? And they say, no, this is the presidential litter of camels that's now going to escort you. You are the new Amir. He says, no. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ غَيْرَ أَنِّي أَكْثَرُهُمْ حِمْلًا وَعِبْءًا وَمَسُولَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَمَامَ اللَّهِ. He says, I am just an ordinary Muslim. Besides the fact that now a very heavy burden and responsibility has come upon my shoulders, which I am responsible regarding, which I will be questioned before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Please bring me my mule, my donkey, my means of conveyance. فَقَرِّبُوا لِي بَغْلَتِي. And then he takes his donkey, he mounts his own donkey and he proceeds and he leaves. You see, the first thing he did is that he went to the poor people. He went to the presidential palace and he took all the riches from there and the monies and he started distributing that to the poor. He went to Damascus and he lived with the poor people for some time to understand their feelings of poverty and what they were going through. Now can you imagine this Khalif? The man becomes the ruler. And look at these beautiful qualities in his life. Now he is going to be dealing with public. So his concern, his worry, his fikr is that I must not abuse a single right of a single person in the public. Every person who was usurped, whose land was usurped, he made sure he gave him back his property. People who were poor, widows, orphans, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi went all out to see to their needs. Then he comes to his wife. His wife's name was Fatima. Suleiman, Hisham, Yazid and Walid were her brothers. Her father is Abdul Malik bin Marwan. She was the apple of the eye of her father. Grew up in a royal family. Father is Khalifa. Grandfather was the Khalifa. Her brothers were the Khalifa. And now her husband becomes the Khalifa. They say, Bintul Khalifa. Wal Khalifa tu jadduha. Ukhtul Khalaif. Wazawjuha Khalifa. So Fatima also lived a life of richness. Spoiled by her father, royal family. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, comes to his wife. He gives her an option. Listen, my life is going to be very difficult now. And I'm going to live a very simple ascetic life. If you wish, give back all the jewelry you brought when you married me. Fatima was actually his cousin. She was 6 years younger than him. So he says, give back all the gold, the jewelry you had brought from your parents and your brothers and give it to the Baitul Mal, to public treasury. And you live with me a simple life. Or if you wish, I will give you some money and divorce you and you go back to your parents' home or to your brothers. She says, no, no, no. By Allah, my life has been tied with your life. I will never leave you. And I will opt for a simple life. She gives all her riches. Remember, the jewelry of that time was not like the jewelry we have now. Those diamonds, those precious jewelry, those gold coins and silver and treasures of rulers and kings. She gives everything to Baitul Mal. It is mentioned she was absolutely obedient to her husband. The sabr she endured, the patience, the lifestyle she chose now, from riches to poverty, becoming an ascetic herself. She was a very prominent woman of her time, of her era. Well known among the people, very modest, very knowledgeable, extremely beautiful. She had great qualities in her. Imagine coming from a palace, now she gives up everything for the sake of her husband. Because this is what my husband wants. It is mentioned that there was an occasion when Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi is distributing some apples that had come to Baitul Mal and is giving to all the poor children and people who came. And as he's distributing beautiful red apples, suddenly he notices one of his little sons, little boy, was hungry, saw everybody going for that apple. He stretched out his hand towards getting one apple. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi pushes his son's hand away. And he does not give him an apple. You and I would think, one apple, small child, what's the problem? The child comes running home crying. Fatima becomes worried, concerned. Why are you crying? And then he breaks down and tells her the news, what has happened. So obviously she's disturbed. She had some coins. She manages to buy some apples for her son and at home. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah comes in and he sees apples. He takes one apple and he asks her, where did you get this from? Thinking that perhaps she also got it from the Baytul Mal. She says, I purchased it. Then he takes a bite of one apple. He was hungry. She tells him, why did you hurt my child? Why did you deprive him today, your son? He says, what did I do? She says, he came for an apple and you deprived him, you pushed his hand away. You hurt his heart. He cried, he came running to me. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah begins to sob. He says, when I did that, I also felt the pain in my heart. But it was not possible that I give my own son and deprive other poor children who were coming from and getting the apple from the Baytul Mal. He felt that that was public money, public property. Others deserved it more than his own child. There's an occasion when his daughters come into the house and they run into the house covering their faces and go into the room. And he asks his wife, what's happening? Why are they doing so? She says, there was no food today. We just had some bread and some raw onions. And because of the odor that may emanate from their mouths, they did not want to give you taklif, so therefore they're covering their mouths and going into the room. It is mentioned regarding Fatima, his wife, that there was a time in her life when she only possessed two dresses. Giving away everything. When Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah passed away, he passed away at a young age, 49 years only. He was the Khalifa of only 2 years and few months. When he passed away, then her brother, he gives her back all the jewelry that she had given away. She refuses to take a single cent and a single jewelry from there. And she says, مَا كُنْتُ أُطِيعُهُ حَيًّا وَأَعْصِيهِ مَيِّتًا. It's not possible that I obey my husband Umar when he's alive. And now when he has passed on, now I must disobey him and go contrary to what he had preached. And she gives everything back, she returns it to Baytul Mal. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, on the first day of his khilafah, after seeing to so much of things and becoming the Khalifa, he decides to take some rest. He was tired. For a few minutes, I will just take a break. But as he goes down to retire or to go to sleep, his young son comes to him. He was just a teenager. And he tells his father, he addresses his father, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O my beloved father, how is it that you're going to rest when now you have on your shoulders the responsibility of the poor, the weak, the widows, the women, the public? And if you are going to be delaying in fulfilling their rights by now going to rest, perhaps they may seize you on the day of Qiyamah and take you before Allah. What answer will you give to Allah? Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah burst into tears. Such a pious son he had, who admonishes his father in a nice way, advises his father, oh my father, you cannot be resting now. And so immediately, he leaves, he abandons his rest and he goes and he discharges all the duties that he had for that day. This young son passed away at a very young age, but he was a very pious son. May Allah give us pious children. All this happens when we make the tarbiyat of our children, not after they married, not when they gone old. In fact, when they're little babies, from that time, the tarbiyat, the nurturing and upbringing of our children is absolutely imperative. Teach them adab, mannerism, etiquettes, Quran, hadith, sunnah, du'as, akhirat, the fact that this dunya is short-lived, how they should feed the poor, the needy, how they should be generous, etc. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, then he goes to all those corrupt ministers that were existing before him. And then he fires many of those ministers and he addresses them. I had seen you people. usurping the land of the poor or those who had owned properties. And I saw you in the blazing sun making many of the people stand in the hot sun, punishing them. And you had them whooped unjustly until their skins were tearing apart. Whereas you were in riches, in opulence, wearing silken robes and having beautiful canopies and tents and palaces. And then he dismisses one after the other, he fires them. And he brings new people as ministers. He had a slave by the name of Muzahim, an ordinary slave, and he makes him a minister. And the slave says, why? So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi says, I saw you in the desert when nobody else could have been watching you. You were all alone and you were engaged in salah. That was a good quality. And I saw you that all the time you engaged in reciting Quran. Therefore, you will assist me. And he had another person by the name of Muhajir. And Muhajir's task was just to correct Umar bin Abdul Aziz whenever he erred. If he did anything wrong, if he did not fulfill any person's right, then Muhajir was told now, he was deputed with this task, that you must immediately admonish me and correct me. Who is going to do such a thing? He enters the Baytul Mal once and he goes to one of the storehouses which had perfumes, beautiful perfumes there. He opens one container and the moment he smells the beautiful fragrance of the perfume, he closes it immediately, closes it with the lid. Somebody asks him, what are you doing? Why you did that? He says, no, this perfume belongs to the people, it's public property. I should not be enjoying even the fragrance of this perfume, let alone applying it. This was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi. One day, simple life, simple food, the desire came to have some honey with his food. Fatima, his wife, immediately she gets some honey and she gives him with his food. And he's about to eat or he tastes honey, absolutely delicious. And he asks her, where did you get this honey from? So she says, I purchased it for 2 dirhams. She had some money at home, 2 dirhams. And then she explains it how she got the honey. She said, I sent somebody on the donkey that was used for transporting the mail from the post office to the people. In other words, this donkey did not belong to them. It belonged to the Baytul Mal. When Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi hears this, he becomes angry. That how could you use a public transport or something that was only for them, not for us. It did not belong to us. He takes that honey with the entire jar. He sells it. He makes a profit. And he gives that profit to Baytul Mal. How many of us are trustees of organizations, madrasas, schools, colleges? Oh, we are in charge of yatim, orphans. How many of us have workers? Or how many of us work for people? And even if it is just a pencil or a pen which belongs to the company or the office, meant for office use only, whilst you are there, not for your own private work. How often we make calls, which we should not be making private calls to our friends or family, during the time when we are supposed to be at work, and using the phone that is meant only for work purposes, it doesn't dawn upon us that this also is not permissible. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, he used the donkey that he had from the Baytul Mal. Whenever he had to fulfill the needs of people, he would use that donkey. But the moment the work was over, he rode his own mule. He never used a cent of Baytul Mal because it did not belong exclusively to him. There's an incident, he gets a guest. And when the guest comes, there are two incidents. One is, when he saw to the people's problems and they work, then he used that lamp or lantern at night, that candle, when he was busy at night seeing to their work. And the moment their work was over, then he lit his own candle, because it was now private use. So there was a guest that comes one night, and he comes to eat by Umar bin Abdul Aziz, or he comes to see him. And the lantern they had suddenly becomes dim. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah Ali wakes up. And the person understands, the guest understands that he's going to put it right. So he stops him, he says, no, I'll do so. He says, no. You are the guest. It is not appropriate for the host to make the guest do some work. I should be looking after you. So then the guest says, can't we just call one of your attendants, any servant that is here at home, and they'll sort it out. He says, no, it is now their time to sleep. Perhaps one of the workers is gone to sleep, and I will disturb his sleep. So he goes up himself, he puts the lantern right, he comes back, and the guest is astounded. He says, what's the matter? قُمْتُ وَأَنَا عُمَرُ ذَهَبْتُ وَأَنَا عُمَرُ رَجَعْتُ وَأَنَا عُمَرُ When I stood up, I was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. When I went and I put that lantern right, I was still Umar bin Abdul Aziz. When I came back, I'm still Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Nothing has decreased in my life. I lost nothing. I'm still Umar bin Abdul Aziz. So this was the great sage of his time. All these lessons that we have. The obedience of the wife to the husband. To give up, to renounce the worldly treasures and opulence a person has. For the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have that ta'alluq with Allah is hajj. Fi dunya, yuhibbaka Allah. You detach yourself from the pleasures of this world, Allah will love you. And you make sure that you do not abuse the rights of people, whether the person is a poor or a rich person. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, as he was passing away, he called his sons who were living at the time, and he addresses them with tears rolling down his cheeks. And he says, oh my sons, I left no dunya for you. Ulama historian writes, each son who was living there only got 12 dirhams, which is absolutely nothing. Compared to the sons of the other rulers, they left behind for them thousands and thousands of dinars. But he addresses his sons with tears in his eyes and he says, I left no dunya for you. But if you live a life of righteousness and justice, Allah will take care of you. And exactly like that, in a short period of time, his sons became very, very wealthy and prosperous. Whereas the other children of the other rulers, all the treasures they acquired, all that comes to an end, whilst they are living and they become paupers, standing at the doors of those masajid, with stretching out their hands, and they would cry to the people, Lillah, for the sake of Allah, give us something. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, kisses his sons, and he passes away. Historians have written that somebody had told one of his workers to poison him, because they wanted to dethrone him. In those times, people would kill the ruler, do different type of strange things just to get rid of him so that they could take the reins of the throne and become the rulers. So it is said that the person comes, had poisoned Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah. He found the effect of the poison in his body, and when an investigation was made, and it was found that this person, so he comes, the servant then, he confesses to Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah, yes, I did so. A certain person told me to do so. So he said, he gave me money for poisoning you. So he says, where's that money? He said, take that money now and give to Baytul Mal, and you escape from here before the people catch you and they kill you. So this is what happened. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to read the biographies and the stories and incidents of our Salafi Salihin, the pious predecessors. A life of taqwa they had, a life of abstinence, a life of justice. Their life was not a life of dunya. Their life was a life of akhirah. It is mentioned about Umar bin Abdul Aziz, how he should weep. Fatima says at night he would come after finishing all his work, and after Isha Salat he would engage in tahajjud, and he would cry and cry and cry. One night he is sleeping, or he's next to her. Late part of the night she finds that the pillow is soaking. She sees that he's crying. Umar, what's the problem? He says, this worry, the concern of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have got great responsibilities. I have to see to the weak, the poor, the orphan. I am so afraid on the day of Qiyamah. If I faltered anyway, what answers, what reply will I give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of the people? Although he was so just and he was so fair. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi would make mashura and consult the ulama of his time. People like Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi would write letters to him and advise him. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi would have, after Isha Salah every night, a gathering of these great pious ulama, and they would read and they would discuss incidents of maut and qiyamah. Imagine, such a ruler, and what they're discussing, maut and qiyamah, and all of them would sob. They would sob. And they would cry. Ulama have mentioned, كَأَنَّ بَيْنَهُمْ جِنَازَ, as though a janaza was in front of them. Somebody died and they are crying. To that extent. So may Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to bring these beautiful lessons in our life. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Recite Durood Sharif. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 الله
Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہمارے خطاؤں کو معاف فرما اللہ forgive us my Allah Ya Allah, we have committed too many sins, my Allah. Allah, sins we did knowingly, unknowingly, my Allah. In the darkness of the night, in broad daylight, in public, in privacy, Ya Allah. Amadan, khata'an, kabira, saghira, so many gunas, my Allah. Eh, Malik Kareem, you love to forgive, my Allah. Forgive us, my Allah. Forgive us completely, my Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse and purify and polish our hearts, my Allah. Make our hearts be shining again, Ya Allah. Make our heart be brimming with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, grant us taqwa, my Allah. Give us a life of simplicity, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us a life full of nur and barakat, my Allah. Give us hayatan tayyiba, ya Allah. Grant all of us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Give us the sweetness of iman, my Allah. Give us the sweetness and enjoyment of begging from you, my Allah, in dua. Ya Allah, give us the sweetness of sajda before you, my Allah. The sweetness of your dhikr. The sweetness of the tilawat of your Qur'an-i Majeed, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us to take your name properly, my Allah. Eh, Maliki Kareem, ya Allah, we beg you, ya Allah. We've got so many hajat and needs, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have raised our hands, knocking only at your door. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship, my Allah, and you alone we ask for help, my Allah. There is no other person who can help us, my Allah. There is no other person who can rescue us from our problems, my Allah. Allah, there is no other person who can give us solutions to our problems, my Allah. Eh, hey, Maliki Kareem, you have raised our hands, my Allah. You have said, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Make dua to me, I will answer you. Allah, we are asking only you, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill all our hajat and needs, my Allah. Our brothers have come to the masjid, they have raised their hands. Our mothers and sisters and others at home, my Allah. There are some people who are not well, but they're listening to the program, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill all our hajat and needs. Ya Qadi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Baliyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat. Allahumma kashif al-gham, mufarrij al-ham, mujib da'wati al-muttarrina idha da'awk. Rahmanu dunya wal-akhira wa rahimahuma. Farhamna fi hajatina kulliha, biqadaiha wa najahiha, rahmatan tughnina biha, an rahmati man siwak. Ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib rozi, my Allah. Allah, let our rosy come to us with ease, ya Allah, with afiyat, halal and plentiful, my Allah. Don't make us become maqruz, my Allah. Allah, those who have become maqruz, my Allah. Allah, they have got a loss in their businesses and properties, my Allah. Allah, restore their properties and Allah, give them barakah again, my Allah.
Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, my Allah. Some in hospital, some at home, some have underwent bypass, my Allah. Some have got, are going through cancer treatment, my Allah. Ya Allah, people have got different problems, my Allah. The elderly woman, ya Allah. Elderly pious, my Allah, in hospital, my Allah. They've got some problem, my Allah. Allah grant each one shifai kamil, ajil, mustaqir, daim, my Allah. Allah protect us from all those diseases, my Allah. Give us good health, my Allah. Give us sihat, my Allah. Allah give us a strong iman, make us live with iman, make us die with iman, raise us to the day of qiyamah with iman. Let our maut come to us in Madina Sharif, my Allah. Bari'il jannatul baqi, Allah. Grant us bari'il jannatul baqi, my Allah. Grant us the shafa'at of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of qiyamah. And his intercession on the day of qiyamah, my Allah. Allah, make us enter Jannah in the company of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, protect all of us, our parents, our grandparents, our wives, our children, our family members, our friends, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, make our children, our grandchildren become the coolness of our eyes. Make them excellent huffaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarabin, maqbuleen. Ya Allah, the ummah is suffering, my Allah. Especially in Gaza, my Allah. Ya Allah, such a long time has gone past, my Allah. Ya Allah, every day we are hearing, Ya Allah, of the terrible condition and the plight, my Allah. Ya Allah, we still have hopes in you only, my Allah. Ya Allah, you have never abandoned us, my Allah. This is the beloved ummah of your beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we beg you tonight again, my Allah. We have raised our hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, ya sami al-aswat. Ya Allah, you are the one who hears the voices, my Allah. Ya Allah, perhaps some innocent person, some masoom child, some elderly person. Ya Allah, some sincere person who has raised his hand or her hands. Ya Allah, give our Muslim brothers and sisters, our masoom children, Ya Allah, in Gaza, grant them afiyat, my Allah. Grant them victory, my Allah. Ya Allah, you send supplies of food, make it reach them, Ya Allah, and make them enjoy it, my Allah. Ya Allah, chase away the enemy, Ya Allah. Destroy the enemy, Ya Allah. Create fear in their hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, humiliate them, my Allah. Eh, Maliki Kareem, Ya Allah, we beg you, my Allah. Give them badarwari nusrat, my Allah. Ya Allah, you send your divine assistance, your divine help to them, my Allah. And wherever the Muslims are suffering, my Allah, in any part of the world, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us have good akhlaq, my Allah, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, all good works of deen, dawat and tabligh, tazkiyah, ta'lim, madaris, makatib, hifz classes, different organizations and individuals, Ya Allah, who are doing good work, accept their work, Ya Allah, grant all ikhlas and maqbooliyat, my Allah. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Ya Allah, hazirin ghaibin sabki dua qabul farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiu alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.